So I was picking up food at a restaurant over the weekend, and so I had a mask, right? Got to have a mask, got to run in, pick it up, and then, you know, you got your mask on, quick grab, see you later.
What kind of food?
It was Al's brother before his transformation.
So just wings. A grubby parm sandwich.
It was a lot of food, and it was not healthy food.
Three wheels and wings.
That's pretty much precisely. Maybe a dry rib or two could have been mixed into the routine and the rotation. So anyway, on my way out, I hear some guy. I'm positive this is what he said. He was doing a pickup, and he realized he forgot his mask. And he asked a guy if he could borrow his mask. And I thought to myself, like, I froze. I'm like, did I just hear that guy ask a total stranger to borrow his mask?
I think I would throw up. If you get a Rick mask and it's just rum and coke and darts, you would throw up.
You've got to be kidding him.
Yeah. Imagine a Rick mask.
Yeah. Like just players. Regular and rum and cokes right
and
in the
mouth. It's yellow on the inside.
Yeah, it's like a dirty white mustache on the inside. There's stains.
Yeah,
I would throw up in my mouth. I could not.
I can't be like, do you think he would have, like, what if the guy was like, yeah, go ahead? Like, you think the guy would have saddled it on?
If I
worn
saw
it, go worn
ahead
it backwards,
and take my
I think
mask,
he was.
I would throw up and run out of the store.
I have to believe the guy, he panicked. He realized, I got to go, I got the order and I got to get in there. I forgot my mask. I think if this guy pulled off his mask and handed it to him, I think the guy would have put it on and walked in there like Hannibal Lecter. And he would have picked up his order and I guess given it back to the guy.
And by the way, PSA, take a good smell of your mask.
Oh, dude, I read a story over the weekend.
No, it's like scrape your jibs if you're not smelling what you want to smell.
But that's the problem. That's the issue. My understanding is people, not everyone, but there's a lot of people who are allowing their oral hygiene to take a back seat. Because they're not going anywhere. They're not interacting with people.
No, but your mask is your go-to.
What do you mean? You can still brush your teeth. Like,
you
your toothbrush
noodles.
Is still in your house.
Of course you can. What I'm saying is I have read articles of people saying, nah, whatever. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not doing anything. What do I care? Tinder's shut down. I can't. You know, there's nothing going on, so people just aren't brushing their teeth properly.
Yeah, well, if your mask smells like a porta potty, you've got to scrape them.
Well, you might need a whole
or just change
new
the
set.
Mask. Like some of people have these, I guess, reusable masks. Like if you put a mask on and you almost throw up, like your breath is out of control.
Do you think your own mask could ever make you throw up? I mean, I don't know if it's possible. It's like could it's your own mask.
It's
right?
Like people with body odor don't smell themselves.
Right. I don't know if that could happen, but there are probably some masks.
I think if you had a bar night with darts thrown in with Greek and tzatziki, you could throw up with your own mask.
I think you're probably right.
I agree.
If you know what would make you really throw up is that if you caught like you know, a whiff of tequila or something.
Yeah.
You know, or like
early
a Red
in the
Bull.
Morning.
Yeah. You're like, oh, I had 14 Red Bull and vodkas last night. And you fire on the mask to get home, and it's just loaded.
Just soaked.
Just
still
Jager
soaked
bombs.
With it.
That's some good insight. Throw us your tweets and thoughts on what could make your mask make you pass out if you throw it on.
Yep. I think a combo of darts and Pilsner could go a long way.
Oh, just sure. Stale beer and players light. It would make you sick.
I need to see Rick's mask.
Yes.
I need a
Give
Rick
us an
mask.
Idea what your risk Rick mask would look like.
You know.
Send it at Overdrive or at Hayes TSN.
You know there's a mask out there that just has a small hole where the dart goes in.
Oh, yeah.
No, there's a blue mask that turned brown 2 months ago, and the guy still uses it.
Yeah, it's been in the back of his truck, and he fires that thing up whenever he's got to go into a convenience store for a new pack of darts or the beer store. That's it.
Yeah. Where'd you get the cardboard mask? No, it's actually a blue one. Thank you very much.
This is legit PPE from the front line.
Yes.
And now it looks like it has been hanging around a factory for about 6 years. All right, joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. Ray, if you were in a horrible situation, horrible, you had to get into somewhere, but you had to borrow someone's mask, would you do it and would you strap it on to get the job done?
No.
No?
Not a chance. Are you kidding me?
Well, okay.
What in life would you do to borrow someone's mask besides play Augusta?
Oh, I was just going to say play Augusta.
You'd fire up some guy's mask who's been smoking for 45 years and drinks 12 beers a night.
Yeah. And
to
it
play
was the color of cardboard.
I would wear O's underpants to play Augusta.
Yeah.
They might be more sanitary, though, no. than some guy's masks.
Yeah.
It depends on what he's been up to and what his diet's been the past week. Week
I would
half.
Staple Al's Brothers underpants right to my nostrils to play Augusta National.
Yeah, I think I'd be right beside you. I'd be putting his socks on, everything.
Jeepers creepers.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Yes. No, anyway, we're just trying to distract ourselves this afternoon. I'm sure you can imagine what the first hour was like. Just flamethrowers, because here we are. Here we are again, right? You and I mentioned this off the top of the show, that this station launched 9 years ago, but it's been 10 days or 10 times over the course of 10 years where I've looked back on a Leaf season, a failed season, and you've been with me here since day one. So we've been having these chats for, you know, this is the 10th year. 10 years in a row. This is the 10th anniversary of us asking what the hell went wrong for the Leafs. And you take the floor. What do you make of the weekend, the season, you know, the whole shooting match and where they're at right now?
Well, I think some of the years you look back and you're like, man, we knew the team was no good in October, and well, they were no good, and so there was no surprise. And then there was hope when Babcock was hired that, you know, things would be getting better. And then they had that kind of a honeymoon year, and things did get better. And then the expectations started to climb. And you know, I think a real turning point for where they are now is when they signed John Tavares, and that the. You know, it changed everything for them. It changed their expectation from a growing and developing youth-centered team into a team that should compete now. You've got one of the better players in the league. You've got them on a gigantic deal. The cap is now tipped upside down because we know that the contracts for Matthews and Marner were coming shortly thereafter, and William Nylander was in the mix. And, like, everything changed to more immediacy. And so I think the disappointments are harder, and you look at with more scrutiny. And so I don't know how anybody could have thought that, hey, the team was going to be way better in August than they were in March. We talked about this, guys, right when they came back. Like, it's the same actors. Like, they could tweak the system, but it's the same guys. The problem that I see really becomes, how do you get better when now you have more than 50% of your cap in four guys?
Well, Ray, what is your assessment of the game last night? And no one that's been in the game or as knowledgeable as you would make a total assessment of a team from one game. But can you take anything away from that one game last night with the three best players on one line and what you saw after that? And can one game expose what was wrong with this team? Or is it just one of those things you can't judge on one game?
No, I think there was a bigger picture to that. I was thinking as I see the way they're lining we're lining the guys up. And my first thought is they're... And it's hard to say, because I don't know what they were really thinking, but this is just me thinking what they were thinking, is that if we can get a couple of goals out of Matthews, Marner, and Tavares, that might be enough to win.
Or our only chance.
Because we're not getting anything from the rest of the lineup. Like, very little of it. Like, look, Sheldon Keefe's got to make decisions, he's talking to his staff and the trainers and all that, and so they decide to get Johnsen in the lineup. Guy hasn't played since January. Like, maybe they're thinking, hey, in 8 minutes, maybe he could give us a spark of something.
That was a minor detail, I thought, but I didn't think it was the right play.
No, it is a minor detail, but it plays into the next part, is that when you play the three guys together, you got to play Nylander in the middle of the ice.
That was horrible.
And so to me, you're like, it almost felt like a little bit of desperation. And then you look at Columbus, and they played the same bloody game all the time. Now, some games they were better than others. They can't play a different game because they're not built that way. In their three wins, they took five penalties total. And what that does, aside from whether Toronto's power play is any good or not, is it keeps them in the four or the three-and-a-half line game because they played 7D last night. So it plays them in a three-and-a-half line game. They just keep chugging away and churning the legs. And, you know, and then when they got to defend, they just pack up the middle of the ice. So, like, there was a couple shifts. I just watched them again. And Toronto's got the puck for 40 seconds in the offensive zone. It never gets in between the dots. They're working their ass off, but it never gets in between the dots. And so, to me, the biggest problem is how do you go from here to something better? Because they can tell themselves all they want that we're going to get better, we're going to be like Washington, and hey, maybe that's the case. However, what if you don't? What if Matthews 5 years on his contract runs away here, and you're still not at the point where Washington finally was when they won, and you got to re-sign him? Then what? Yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah,
like I think the team. I don't think the team's got to be like, you know, you got to look at it like it's the worst team ever. But fundamentally put together, I don't think this team has got the right legs underneath it.
No, and I think they proved that through the first 70 games, right? It wasn't just the past week and a half. They are a team with a lot of top-end talent. They get a lot of talent, but you need more than just talent in pro sports, right? Like, that's abundantly clear in every sport. That's not just a hockey thing. And it's multi-layered. It's the forwards, the defense, the goaltending. The coach has to hit the right buttons. And I do wonder if that was a part of what inspired Sheldon Keefe to put those guys together in the top six. I thought about it last night, is when you consider the forward groups, five of the six guys in the top six are the longest tenured forwards on the team. And Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Kapanen, and Hyman. They've all been here for 4 years. And then Tavares. And we all know he would be inspired. He's been here for a couple of years. He's the captain. I wonder if Keefe went to the six of them and said, I'm loading you guys up. You're both lines are playing 20 minutes. You guys have been here the longest. You should have the most scars. You should be the most hungry. Let's go. It's game five. I'm going to play you. And he got three of them that showed up. The other three didn't. Kapanen, Nylander, even Hyman was not overly impactful last night.
Okay, but you put together a lot. Like, look, I'm no coach. I've never coached. But you put together three guys on a line with a guy that's not played center in forever.
Oh, I know, Ray.
And you put them together. And so they could be the longest tenured guys for 100 years. But how would you expect that it's all going to hit on one night? It's not like Kapanen had a great series. Nylander didn't have a great series. And so you're going to, you know, your hope is that that line can really hit some notes for you. Man, that's a big, big hope. Because once the you know, Marner, Tavares, and Matthews got off the ice, like, nothing happened last night.
Yeah,
That was a 2.5 minute breather.
That's what I said on SportsCenter, Ray. I was like, it's like the big guys are out there, and then they couldn't generate any team momentum. They had chances, they had quality stuff, but then when they left the ice, it was like.
But you expected more from the depth. Like, I think for the most part, you looked at the guys who were paid a lot of money, and they at least could have been a threat or were a threat, whether they could have been or were, like, they were there. But the bottom of the roster did not scare anybody.
Well,
like,
Nylander makes a lot of money too, Jamie. No, he was the worst player on the ice.
Well, listen, he got put in a bad situation. I'm not going to defend him, but what I'm saying is, when they split those guys up early in the third, he got one look, right? Because he ended up getting, he was playing with guys who could get him the puck, and he moved his feet a little bit. But to me, I look at Johnsson. Yeah, he got put in a tough spot. Johnsson, I mean, maybe it's different if he scores. Like, that was a ridiculous save by Korpisalo. That really was. But I looked at Mikhaev, Engvall, like, you know, Clifford, all of those guys. Like, they tried hard, but the teams that win, their depth, they contribute. And the Leafs' depth did not contribute. And to me, that's where they're exposed is, yeah, they're top-heavy, but the bottom brings you nothing. And all I could think about is, like, where's guys like Malgin? And, like, they're gone. That's
Malgin,
it.
He was,
remember Dennis Malgin? But I'm saying, like, that's Kyle kept doubling down to players like that. You're like, where there was... When I watch Boston play, you know, Sean Corrali chips in, like at the Nola Chari it was when he was still there. Like it was fourth line that would get you. Yeah, Jason Spezza had a fight, and to me you could tell he was pushing, but you know, you shouldn't have to rely on that. You should have depth that could push and be a threat. Columbus does. Columbus fourth line's got speed, and they were a threat.
But Jamie, that's why this series was so fascinating, is that it is the ideal of Kyle Dubas and the Leafs of skill versus an ideal of something else in Columbus.
Right.
And so the guys that he brought in, the Nick Patans and Dennis Mulgan, you can say it's a little bit of a shot in the dark. And these guys had, you know, Patan in particular had lots of American League success, but they don't change the makeup of their team because their vision is of this skill that can be in and of itself the way to win. And I love skill and I love goals as much as possible. I'd have the goalies wearing bathing suits out there if I could to get more goals, but I don't think that's how you win. I don't think you can skill your way to victory. And the problem they have is now that they're in, and it's all tied together, but now that through no fault of their own, the world got hit in the head with a hammer here, and the cap is at $81 million. And so you've got $37.5 million in the four forwards. It's going to be really hard for everything you just explained, Noodles, to get different, to be different. Now, maybe it can be if Nick Robertson can come in on a cheap contract and play well. Maybe they get a lightning bolt and win the bloody lottery tomorrow.
Tonight.
Maybe they need cheap, good players. However, where do you find enough of them? Because let's say Robertson plays well and, you know, they end up with the top pick. It still doesn't help their defense. My goodness, that defense is problematic. And it's been problematic for a few years.
A long time.
You can hope and say there's growth and all that, but I go back again to, and it's of no fault of his, but when they signed John Tavares, the expectations changed.
Well,
and the results were supposed to be closer to being around the corner than they've turned out to be.
Big time. And what happened, I believe, a few weeks, maybe a month prior to that, was Kyle Dubas got the job over Lou Lamoriello. And Dubas took over, and Tavares fell on his lap, you know, and he was a part of that pitch, clearly. But since then, they are not a better team today than they were 2 years ago. They might have more talent. They got more skill. But the standings indicate that. That's not some flame-throwing hot take. That's just the standings. They were straddling the playoff line this year. Straddling it. They got a coach fired. So you can't sit here and say they're way better than they were 2 years ago. They're not. They're different. They're built different. They're talented high-end guys, I think, are in a better position in their careers. Matthews is better today than he was 2 years ago. Yeah. Marner is. Nylander is. I think Riley is. I don't know if Freddie Anderson is. I don't think John Tavares is, because I think he's probably he's on the other side of his peak now in his career. Still a great player, but he's not going to get better over the next 2 or 3 years. So it comes down to Dubas, and here's a reality that we may be facing in about an hour. If they don't win the lottery tonight, they're up against the cap. They really don't have that much flexibility, and the cap isn't going to move for the better part of 2 or 3 years. And
They don't have
a first-round pick. So, you know, if you need – there's a lot of things that are obvious here. They need to improve their defense. They got to turn it over. Like, Riley, I think, will be here. I don't know if that's a guarantee or if it should be, but I think he will be. Muzzin will be. I think Sandin steps in next year probably, but that's a third-pairing guy. Justin Hall, I think, is a third-pairing right defenseman. So maybe you've got your third pair and your first lefty and your second lefty. You need a – number one right defenseman and a number two right defenseman. How are you going to find that? It's not going to be for Kasperi Kapanen or Andreas Janssen.
And if you
want to
chip in, like Tyson Barrie was supposed to be.
He was supposed to be, yeah.
He was supposed to be a triple off the wall, not what he was. I mean, I don't know if you're going to get a home run from him, but you were expecting a lot more than that. And then if you want to try to sniff out some kind of financial deal where you squeeze a guy like Cece in, I don't know. I've heard the stories about, you know, CeCe and people's thoughts in Ottawa, and I was like, I really like the player. And he got here, and he was a disappointment. I was disappointed for what he brought to the table.
You're not alone. There isn't anyone that could suggest that they were happy. Like, he just never found his game.
Never.
He never found it. So he's gone. I would think he's got to move on. He's got to move on.
Cody Ceci makes a lot of money, too. Like, that's the thing Cody Ceci does. Tyson Berry, they had a $2.5 million, correct?
Right.
Wasn't that, didn't Colorado?
Yeah, Colorado ate some money.
But Berry, I'm sorry, Ceci was 4+.
Yep.
So you've got to find a way to spend that money on the back end a lot more efficient. And if you believe that Sandin's going to step in, and is Lilligren, I don't know, is he going to, or are you going to have to
try? I'm not sure if he is or not.
He's getting close to that breaking point as far as being prospect to suspect and being an NHL player, I would have to think.
Okay, guys, but hang on. Say they do break it. Say they both play next year. Does that make them appreciably better?
No, they're third-pairing guys as kids. Yeah.
Not at all. And so the real I know we say this a lot, and lots of times it sounds like hot air, but I don't know how they can return the same real core of this team and expect the results to be way different. Because had they beat Columbus, like, did people think they were going to go on a 5-round spree? Like, this team was going to be, like, isn't that kind of the goal of what they got going here, is to be a team that can contend for a cup?
Right.
That wasn't happening. Yeah. Like, they might have beat Columbus last night in Game 5, but that wasn't going to happen. They weren't going to win another 2 or 3 rounds. Like,
the one thing that I keep hearing from people I talk to in hockey is balance. You look at the Philadelphia Flyers, like, that team is sneaky balanced. Like,
no
they're
kidding.
You know, from top to bottom. Obviously, it helps to have a young stud in net, but their defensive core is mobile.
I love that decor. Young, big, mobile.
They drafted them all.
Yeah.
You're right. Like, that's, but what I'm saying is the league now, it seems like the teams that have 4 lines and mobile D and adequate goaltending have that balance. They're the ones that are expected to go deep. We're not talking about a Leaf team that has balance. We're talking a Leaf team that has high-end talent at the top and then adequate players below. And that's not a championship formula right now. Do we agree with that?
Yeah, yes.
Of course.
And here's the problem with, you know, when you talk about Philly, though, Noodles, I was just thinking as you. So Ron Hextall and Chris Pryor were in charge of the Flyers, and they drafted those guys. Provorov, they got Philippe Myers as somehow a 6'7" right-handed defenseman, went through the draft. They signed him as a free agent. They got Sanheim. Then they drafted Konechny. Couturier, it takes a long time once you draft them, like years. And in the meantime, Hextall got fired. And so, like, a lot of this team is his team.
For sure.
It takes time. And they got Carter Hart in the second round. So now as we're talking about, you know, the balance and getting that balance, and you've still got, you're paying a bulk of your salary cap to guys that are expected to be part of a team that wins now, but you're looking for balance, which takes time. It kind of seems to be in competition of each other. And that to me is a real point here, that, you know, they have to determine exactly, are they a contender now? Like, to be honest, are we a contender now, or what we're going to need to do take more time?
Well,
I think they've got to build through time. I just don't think you can replace their holes. Sorry, Brian. I don't think you can replace their holes. They don't have enough money to do it in free agency or through trade, because it's going to have to be, I would assume, dollar out player for dollar in player.
Right. I totally agree. Just based on the circumstances, you know, if you don't have much cap flexibility, you don't have a ton of collateral, if you don't have your first round pick, if you are truly adverse to trading one of your top 2 or 3 guys, which Dubas has always indicated he is. Now, that might change. There's only so much you can do. There's just a limitation. And I think that is likely what is so disappointing for a lot of Leaf fans today, is a couple years ago, it felt like they were just this juggernaut that was getting off the ground, right? Like, they had done all the heavy lifting. They blew it up. They reloaded. They built through the draft. They had the superstar talent. They found a goalie in Anderson. They had a coach in Babcock. And it was just a matter of time before they start going on cup runs and maybe win a cup. And there were it just was. It felt like that's where it was going. And now 2 years later, you don't have the same feeling. You know, you can't. It doesn't mean they don't still have talent. Of course they do. They're a middle of the pack team. That's not terrible. They're not Detroit. You know, they're not one of those teams. But you can't sit here with a straight face and say that they're Boston or Washington or St. Louis either. Like, right. they're not a player away from that.
Colorado, yeah. I mean, teams like that. Like
they're just not at that level. And they weren't at any point this year. This isn't a one-week overreaction. It's just that's what they've built. This is, I don't know how they got here, but they got here. And to get to that next level, it's not a trade or two away. It's not a signing or two away. It's probably more than that.
Well, I'm going to go on record saying I think this lottery tonight is ludicrous.
Yeah,
I think
it's
ridiculous,
crazy.
And it's an embarrassment.
Well,
and
with that in mind,
let me hit the
simulator here quickly. Oh, Florida just won. There you go.
That's twice today they've won on your simulator.
Okay, so yeah. Florida. Maybe
you know who's going to win this?
Edmonton.
No. Minnesota.
Minnesota. I think the Rangers are going to win.
I think it's Minnesota. Bank it. Bet on it.
Okay.
I don't know why, but just bet on it. Because
yeah,
it's all rigged.
Of course it is. It always is.
A hundred man. Pick a team. I say Edmonton.
I'll say the Rangers.
I got Minnie.
Noodles?
Winnipeg.
Okay.
So you win 300.
Okay. That seems
like
reasonable.
Hayes, this is like Hayes's
this is his dorm room. It's his dorm room right now.
Yeah, that's right. I'm just a pit boss in here just trying to take money from people.
Rake it out. Rake it out.
I like it. All right, buddy. Well, I guess we'll catch up with you later in the week.
Yep, we'll talk to you then. We should chat about the lottery tomorrow. I mean, I think that's probably
something we should. We'll have fun with that. That'll be fun. That'll be all cheery and good times.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, buddy.
Have a good day, boys.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The showroom is open. They're taking all the necessary steps to provide a safe environment for every guest. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland or buy online at MapleToyota.com. The NHL draft lottery for that number one pick. 8 teams are in the lottery. The Maple Leafs are one of them. That'll be happening in the 6 p.m. hour, so we'll keep you up to date on that. We've all picked. I'm on the Rangers. You're on Winnipeg, Noodles.
Yeah,
Oh, you're on Edmonton.
I kind of hope, honestly, that Nashville gets it. Like, they've never had a number one pick, number one overall pick. You know, they do need a top-end talent. You know, they've tried to draft and develop there properly. You know, a couple trades, hit or miss, free agent signings. But it would just be nice. I think Nashville kind of hides in the weeds. I don't know if that'd be great for the league or not. But
are you guys going to have a side team, Hazy? Are you a Habs guy now?
No, I don't have a team now going on a run.
Canadian teams left. What was your over-under on that, Jerry?
I think it was 3.5. 3.5.
Wow.
And I think we all went over. We all thought 4 would get in anyway. Because one was guaranteed. One was guaranteed.
We all thought Montreal. We almost thought 5. I think we all were like Montreal's no chance, and then everyone else is.
I like Vancouver, Edmonton, and Toronto. Yeah, I did. Absolutely.
Right.
But there you go. Montreal's through. So look who's laughing now. The Habs are continuing to roll. So, and Vancouver. Vancouver's a fun team to watch. Like, that was a cool game. Them storming back and winning in overtime. And, you know, they'll be a fun team to track. But with the Leafs out, with McDavid out, I just go to the superstar. I would love to be seeing McDavid play every second night. And it's just, it's not going to happen, clearly.